The conference committee considering Senate Bill 56, excuse me, the conference committee with limited powers of free conference on Senate Bill 56 recommends that conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 56 an act entitled An Act Amending and Making Effective an Annuity Program and Amendments to the Longevity Bonus Program and the Permanent Fund Dividend Program provided for in Sections 2 through 18, Chapter 99, SLA 1985, effective date, be adopted. Report was signed by the Senate members Kurtula, Eliason, and Euling. By the House members Omer, Porchot, and Rieger. I have no further special reports, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, that brings us down to unfinished business. All the members of the body should have copies of that conference report under unfinished business. Representative Hanley.
May we have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker?
Will the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're under unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we enter the limbo file for the purpose of considering one specific bill.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the members would remove the conference committee report for Senate Bill 56.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I move that the House adopt the conference committee report, thereby passing conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 56 and urge the members to vote yes. We will have a report on the difference what the conference committee report states by the representative from Juneau.
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are two changes in this bill. Number one, there is a minor technical amendment, a date change, which was just an error and has no impact on the program whatsoever. Secondly, there is a change in the interest rate in the schedule. If you'll recall, we debated Section 9. Section 9 assumes a 9% interest rate. That was based on the Division of Retirement's recommendations because that's what the retirement funds get. The Senate members of the conference committee had requested we consider a 7% interest rate instead. We compromised at 8%. So that, in a nutshell, is what is in front of you, and I would encourage the members to vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Donnelly.
Mr. Speaker, through the chair, if I could ask a question. Does that affect the table that has the dollar amounts on it?
Representative Ulmer.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, it does affect that table. It shows slightly increased amounts for the Section 9 payoff. So the declining bonus amounts are a few dollars more over the next few years and a few dollars more than that toward the end. I don't actually have that table, but it affects it slightly by increasing the amount of the bonus portion of the longevity bonus. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, I call the House.
Okay, the House has been called. Will the House stand at ease while the call is being satisfied? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have the conference committee substitute before us. The call has been satisfied. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 56 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Donnelly?
From no to yes, Mr. Speaker.
From no to yes. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 1 nay.
Conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 56 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Under unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we enter the limbo file for the purpose of considering one specific bill. That is the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 322, Workers' Compensation. The motion will be to adopt the Conference Committee report, thereby adopting Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322. I recommend the members vote yes and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee will explain what they've done.
Okay. The Conference Committee report is in your limbo file. And now on the board, Representative Sund.
Speaker, in the limbo file, I think behind the Conference Committee report, you'll find a short sheet of paper that shows the six items that the Conference Committee debated. And there are two, I'd say, substantial or major ones. One deals with the assigned risk pool, a concept that was inserted in the House Judiciary Committee to try to somehow give some degree of benefit out of this to the small employers of the state who, but for one reason or other, usually involuntarily, are put in the assigned risk pool. The House had a version, I think, that was probably ultimately more fine-tuned but more difficult to administer. The agreed-upon language we came out, which is pretty simple. It just says that if you're in the assigned risk pool, the first $3,000 of premium that you pay cannot be surcharged, period. And anything over that, over $3,000, can be surcharged at 25% rather than the 20% that is in there now. For example, 80 to 82% of the small businesses that are in the assigned risk pool pay a premium less than $3,000. They should all see an immediate 20% reduction in the premiums they pay on their workers' compensation. And if you note, it's to the first $3,000. So if you paid $6,000, your second three is going to be surcharged at 25%, but if you mix it over the whole amount, it's only 12.5% surcharge. So I think we're going to see a benefit to the small employers out of this. The second one is the item six, mandatory rate reduction issue. Obviously, that was kind of controversial. It was not in the Senate version. We passed a mandatory 6% rate reduction. It was not acceptable. What we compromised on, I guess, was to say the Director of Division of Insurance stated that with the passage of this bill, he would institute a 5.7% rate reduction minimum effective July 1. And what the bill says is that there will be rates will not be permitted to increase until January 1, 1990. So we effectively have an 18-month area here where there will be absolutely no increases. The rates will go down approximately 6% the 1st of July. And with the amendment that was put in House Judiciary, that all new rate filings have to reflect the impact or anticipated impact of this bill, I think we'll continue to see a rate decrease as the impact of this legislation. I think that was a reasonable place to end up. The work safety program we put in, we ran into some implementation issues where we mandated a worker safety program to be provided by the insurance carriers. And we stated in our bill that they could charge a fee for it. There are some carriers that only write workers' comp to a very few employers in the state. And it was felt that requiring them mandatorily to implement a worker safety program for those few employers they write for up here and being able to charge a fee that was not regulated may not be fair. So what we did is we maintained the essence of it, put it under the Division of Insurance, and stated that the work safety program shall be implemented pursuant to the regulations of the Division of Insurance, and a fee could be charged, but the fee is subject to approval by the Division of Insurance. So there won't be any, I assume the effort there is to not allow any outrageous fees to be charged that would not be regulated. And the other three aspects, I think, were dealing with the penalties for late filing, checks drawn on in-state banks, and determination of gross or weekly wages were adopted. And with that, I would recommend the body approve the bill.
Is there any debate? Representative Donnelly.
Yeah, through the chair, Mr. Speaker. Question on the limitation on future rate increases. If the rates do, in fact, are reduced by the division. The division orders a rate reduction on July 1st. Then is the provision in the bill, does that limit any future increases from that new level, or does that limit future increases from beyond the level that's in existence at this time?
Representative Sund.
Sure. I believe the I'm not going to be able to absolutely answer that. I would tend to believe that, if I recall it correctly, it would be the level that's in existence today, so that becomes the ceiling. and we work down from that for the next 18 months. But if the Division of Insurance wants to interpret the other way, I won't object to that either.
Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that's a real important question for this House to consider, because if we're putting the ceiling at the existing level, then if the promised voluntary rate decrease we've been promised, but not guaranteed, was to take effect, then on January 1st of next year, the rates could go right back up, and we'd be right where we are today. And I don't think that'd be a very good situation, Mr. Speaker, because we'd have the new bill in place, but the rates could be raised up to the point where we are now, and the savings in the bill would go for naught.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I would disagree with that interpretation, though it's correct to the extent that it does provide a maximum ceiling. And the Judiciary Committee's chairman and his interpretation on it may very well be correct, that is the maximum ceiling. It's our understanding that because of the language inserted in the Judiciary Committee and that it still remains in the bill, that the Department of Insurance is going to have to require the insurance carriers, as they file their new rates, to factor in the soft dollar savings that are inculcate within this bill. And the indications that we have had from the rating agencies that have advised this body, and there have been rating agencies from both the Senate side and also the House side that have carefully examined and costed out this bill, that there are some significant savings yet to be achieved in the soft dollar area, in administration and in the manner in which we're going to be expediting claims. I believe, on an overall basis, that this is a tremendous change that we have worked in the workers' compensation law of this state, and that it is something that this body should support, though it is not by any means absolutely perfect and doesn't have everything in it that we would have liked to have achieved. It is a major step forward in seeing to it that for about, I would estimate, all parties that are currently carrying workers' comp will see a reduction in premiums, but you're going to see significant reduction in premiums for the small business people of the state of Alaska. And I think this is crucial in our economy at this time, and I think that if our insurance commissioner holds the line on insisting on proper rate filings with these new numbers cranked in, that you're going to see even greater savings for the entire business community. And I think that's important to us right now, Mr. Speaker, so I strongly support the bill.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for granting me some latitude on this situation. The provision that the division shall take into account, the new provisions in the legislation, the so-called soft dollar costs, would require the division to make that assessment within about a four to, or even less, five month tops record of experience. Because traditionally the rate filing requests come out January 1st, a date that should have some significance to all the members of this body, Mr. Speaker, so that they would be trying to guess what the impact of those savings were based on, if we're really pushing it here, about a four-month period of experience, because they're going to go back and start to calculate, come out November 1st, and ask for what increases are due. Now, if we're not limiting them, those increases are going to be based on a very difficult assessment of what happened for those 4 months under this new act, Mr. Speaker, because all the old claims are going to be under the old act. Everything that's going to continue on, the experience of all the activity, is going to be based on the old claims. Any new claims, only new accidents that occur after the beginning of this next fiscal year, or when this goes into effect, will be available for experience modification, Mr. Speaker. And in addition to that, we're not certain what the last year was like. That would normally be the year that this was based on, when 1987. project's experience was like. Now, we've had a couple different estimates. Back in November when we started working on this and heard some testimony on it, Mr. Speaker, the estimates were that rates were 15% under what they should be, and they're going to jump up again next year if we don't address this issue. Recently, there's been differing testimony about that, saying that rates may not go up that much or may not rise at all. But there certainly is a discrepancy on the information, and it's certainly not clear what is going to happen. And if there's a window of opportunity for rates to go up immediately, that's too much for me to accept after all the work we've done on this legislation, Mr. Speaker, and I don't think the House should accept that.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 1 nay.
Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we recess to the call of the chair.
Hearing objection. Ready for the question? The question is, shall this body recess the call of the chair? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
29 yeas, 10 nays.
Stand in recess to the call of the chair. There will be a majority caucus in the Speaker's office. Will the House come back to order? Before the recess, we're under unfinished business. If there are no objections from this body, I'd like to move back up to messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 455, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to commercial fishing vessel safety and safety equipment and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee, resources.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any objections moving down to reports of standing committees? Hearing no objection.
The Hess Committee is considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 169 Hess relating to the training of foster parents. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 169 Hess with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by the co-chairs Kopanen and Ellis. Concurring, Kopanen, Ellis, Hanley, Phillips, Hudson, and Grunberg. Senate Bill 169 as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 rules relating to the Department of Public Safety's authority to award grants that relate to the duties and powers of the Highway Safety Planning Agency and the Division of Fire Prevention. Recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Omer, Chairman. Concurring, Omer, Menard, Hoffman, Martin, Davidson, and Boucher. Senate Bill 174 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, that brings us down to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, we have here Senate Bill 308, an act relating to grants to energy-efficient homes. That bill will be referred to the State Affairs Committee for public hearing. Also, Senate Bill 384, an act relating to adoption of regulations, that will also be referred to State Affairs for public hearing. Is there any further unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader, the House stand at ease. Business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent, we take up as a special order of business the citation honoring Pete Rose.
Are there any objection to special order of business? Hearing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the citation.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, the citation has been adopted. This brings us down to announcements of standing committees or special committees. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a number of announcements here. I would like to first announce on behalf of the House Hess Committee that there'll be a committee hearing at 4 o'clock tomorrow to consider the following bills. Senate Bill 326, Designer Drugs. Senate Bill 492, Naturopathy, pending referral. Senate Bill 395, concerning school terms. And we will also consider a letter of intent that was passed by the Senate when it passed House Bill 103, which is Board of Dental Examiners. The House bill itself is being transmitted to the governor, so the committee will simply consider the letter of intent. The State Affairs Committee will meet at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, pending completion of our floor business, and the following bills are on the agenda. Senate Bill 455, Commercial Fishing Vessel Safety and Safety Equipment. Senate Bill 308, Energy Efficient Home Equity Program. Senate Bill 384, Adoption of Regulations. The Labor and Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Senate Bill 508. I'm sorry, these do not have a title. Give me a moment, Mr. Speaker.
Would the House stand at ease? Would the House come back to order under announcements?
The Labor and Commerce Committee meeting at 3 in the afternoon tomorrow, pending floor again, floor session being finished, will consider Senate Bill 508, which is bankruptcy exemptions, Senate Bill 368, which is Alaska Public Utility Commission regulatory powers, and any other bills that are held over. And the Judiciary Committee will meet as tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., pending completion of our floor action, to continue hearing on the Senate Bill 415, the Anchorage Courthouse, and anything else that's been on the calendar. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements, general announcements, special orders? House stand at ease. Under special orders, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
10 a.m. tomorrow morning.